Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And you're going to be glad you did, I think. I hope. I pray that you'll be glad you did. And by the way, we're, as you can imagine, connecting with China is not that hard. We've done interviews with China before, but sometimes it's not automatic. And so we're having a little bit of a delay in getting Lloyd Adams on the show, who's going to be with us in just a little bit later on. But what I wanted to do before he got here, I want to talk about something a little different from China that I've got on my mind lately, and that we talked about it a little bit last week earlier in the week. But I wanted to remind you of something, folks, that's going on right now, and then we'll get Lloyd on the phone. We'll move over to him after the next break. Folks, there's something called. There's a bill called the Lieberman-Warner bill that's going before. It's been debated this last week in the Senate. It used to be called the Lieberman-McCain bill. Now, it's important that you remember those names because of what I'm about to tell you. It's generally referred to as the cap and trade bill. Now, here's what cap and trade means. This is all about carbon emissions. The carbon emissions that come out of your automobile, that come out of your furnace, that come out of your factory, that come from whatever when you burn charcoal on the in your grill or whatever way that you consume carbon, the electricity that the plant that makes the electricity other than nuclear. There's a coal-fired plant or anything like that, any of those carbons are part of our carbon footprint. You've heard of that term before, right? Well, right now, as of right now, your ability to emit carbons or factories' ability to emit carbons, there are regulations on how much you can put into the air. Your cars are created a certain way. Factories have to have certain environmental scrubbers and different devices that will limit the carbons. But the actual carbon that gets in the air is unregulated right now. Well, what the government is proposing to do, what this Lieberman-Warner bill, formerly Lieberman-McCain, is, as I understand it, folks, and we're going to be talking about this more as time goes on, but as I understand it, it's going to actually turn carbon into a commodity. These carbon emissions is actually going to become a commodity. They're going to place a value on it, and the government is going to regulate. If this cap and trade bill passes, the government is going to pass. If they pass the law, then the government will control how much those carbons are worth, how much that commodity is worth, and they'll put a cap. That's the cap part. They'll put a cap on how much you can emit from your car, from your house. You'll have an amount. This is how I understand it. It may vary in some ways by the time they get it done. But basically, you will have a limit on how much you can emit. And if you want to do more than that, you really can't without breaking the law, I guess, unless you want to trade with someone else. Cap and trade. So if I'm not using all of my carbons, I can sell them to you, and you can use my carbons. Now, the problem is that the government is going to be taxing you and me on these things, and they are going to get the money. If it goes through the way it seems that it looks like right now, the government will be taxing you on your carbons, which you currently aren't being taxed on. This is a new tax. taxing you on your carbons, and they will receive the money. The government will receive the money. What are they going to do with that money? Well, what does the government do with money when they get it from taxes? Are they efficient with it? Do you like the way they're spending your money right now? If you don't like the way they're spending your money right now, how are you going to like it when they add this new tax? But there's one other thing. When they do this, they're going to put a restriction on the number of carbons you can emit, and it will start reducing overall carbon emissions in this country. Which I believe will be detrimental to our economy. And I'll continue to talk about this as time goes on. This is very important. If I'm frightening you a little bit, that's my intention, is to get your attention and get you energized and focused on this so you can know what's going on and you can tell your politicians how you want them to vote. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassing. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 17 till the hour. Little Jimi Hendrix bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show and all the things that we do here, all the different things that help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including the show and the archives of the show all the way back to 1999. That you can listen to at your little heart's content. You can even podcast them if you want to. You can take fair use possession of our stuff. So we let you do that. And of course, our Brain Trust members, 600 plus Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts in the world, are right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to check out our blog, which we update every weekday, and our newsletter is you can subscribe to it there too. We send it to you every weekday. I'm sorry, every Sunday. In the afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Lots and lots of stuff there. And new stuff coming. Get ready for that. That's coming up. And, of course, don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Okay, it's going to just be you and me the rest of the hour. Our China connections, the connection, literally, is we're having some difficulty with it, and they've told us that it's just something they're not going to be able to fix in the next few minutes. So you and I are going to continue to march. I am going to tie China into my talk, my thoughts though, on this cap and trade issue. Folks, remember what I said a minute ago. The government is in the process of debating whether to make carbon emissions a commodity that they will own and regulate and tax you and me on. How do you feel about that? Is that, you know, I've had this discussion, folks, with my liberal friends and my conservative friends, with all different people, all different, you know, political thinkers. And whenever we talk about this, even my liberal friends don't like the idea of the government capping their emissions and controlling it by government fiat, basically, and taxing them on it. Even they don't like that idea. So this is not going to be a popular thing, but it's going to be something that you and I are going. I can't think of anything that you and I are going to have to become more involved in a long time, maybe ever. You and I as individuals have got to get involved in, as small business owners especially, we've got to get involved. We've got to make our voices heard about this. And here's why. We have two presumptive nominees, Senator Obama and Senator McCain. We already know that Senator Obama is in favor of the cap and trade law of the bill, the philosophy behind cap and trade. But remember what I said earlier, what's currently called the Lieberman Warner bill used to be called the Lieberman-McCain bill. So what does that tell you? Myron Ebel, who was on the show a week or so ago with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, reported on this show that there's very little difference in McCain's attitude about cap and trade and Obama's attitude about cap and trade. So here's what it seems to me, and I'm trying to report to you what I've learned so far, folks. And that is that regardless of who the president is, in a year from now, both of the nominees are in favor of this. So if the House and the Senate pass the Lieberman-McCain Warner bill, which they won't do this year, or if they pass it, President Bush will veto it. But we will have no veto fallback a year from now, it seems, because apparently Senator McCain is in favor of this. So what does that mean? That means that on this particular issue, we could be in big trouble unless you and I can mobilize and can get going with our elected officials to let them know how we feel about this, and to try to stop it. Now, let me tell you why I say that we need to stop it. Number one, I don't think the government needs to be regulating our carbons. Number two, I don't think the government should be taxing our carbons. And number three, they sure shouldn't be keeping those tax money and blowing it on whatever they want to blow it on, like as Reagan called them, a bunch of drunken sailors. I don't think those things need to happen. Now, I want you to notice that I didn't say that I don't think we should be minimizing our carbons, that we should be conserving fuel and finding alternative ways to power our devices and our machines, et cetera, et cetera. I agree with all that. I think we need to do a better job of conservation. We need to conserve. We need to do three things. Conserve. We need to find alternative fuels. Corn is not one of them, in my opinion. Corn will not take us to the finish line with alternative fuels. We don't need to get off that one. And number three, we've got to find new sources of oil in the United States. We've got to become less dependent upon foreign oil. We have the resources here in the United States. We have the ability to do this, to be more self-sufficient with petroleum in the United States. We need to do all three of those things. Plus, we need to conserve. I do agree that we need to emit fewer carbons into the air. But I think the marketplace should decide that. The marketplace should be what makes that happen. Because if we can do that, if there's a competitive angle, and more people are like you and me right now, we want a greener, cleaner environment. We all do, right? But we need to let the marketplace take care of this, folks. And it will. It may not be the way the government wants it to be, but that's just fine with me. I don't know about you. That's just fine with me. I trust the marketplace a million times more than I trust the government. Tin Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so tired of being alone. I'm so tired. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. I'm continuing to talk about this cap and trade thing. And I promised you a little on China this half hour, so I'm going to bring that into our discussion of this. Folks, in 97, when I started doing my show, the first thing I reported on of a public policy nature was the Kyoto Accords. I didn't like it then, and me and a whole bunch of other people have been proven to be correct. The Kyoto Accords have been a complete disaster. Europe signed the Kyoto Accords, but they cannot comply with Kyoto. You know why? Because if they complied with Kyoto, they'd shut their economy down. And that's what was going to happen to the United States. Here's the only difference. If Italy or Germany or England or France bust the Kyoto Accords, nobody's going to do anything about it. They aren't doing anything about it. But if the United States or any of our companies busted the covenants of the Kyoto Accords, there are plenty of people who could take us to court in our court system and make us comply. So here's what I'm worried about, folks. I don't think I'm overstating the case when I say I think cap and trade, as it's currently understood, as I currently understand it, I think cap and trade is Kyoto on steroids. It's worse than Kyoto. For one thing, it only applies to us, to the United States. It doesn't apply to anybody else. And so the rest of the world could just let things roll all they want, and the United States would be limiting carbons and limiting the government, the economy as a result. Now, let me bring in China into this. In the Kyoto Accords, originally, China and India, these huge emerging economies, were not even going to be part of Kyoto. They weren't even going to sign up. They weren't even being asked to join Kyoto. No third world country was being asked to sign Kyoto. And so if the United States government passes the cap and trade bill, then it'll be worse than Kyoto, because we'll be doing it unilaterally. It wouldn't surprise me if Kyoto, the Kyoto requirements for reducing emissions, wouldn't wound up just becoming, you know, dissolving, and nobody even trying to track that. But let me remind you of something else. You know, everyone's worried about the carbon emissions of the United States, and I admit that there's something there we need to be paying attention to. But let me point something else out for you. The last time I checked, which was records going back to about 06, China was doing one-fifth of the U.S. economy, one-fifth. I know you think it's a huge economy, and I said that a minute ago, but what I meant was it's a huge number of people. It is a burgeoning economy, but it's still only about one-fifth of our economy. But their carbon emissions at that point was about 80% of the United States carbon emissions. So they do one-fifth of the productivity, but they produce four-fifths of our carbon emissions. And recently I read where some people consider China's current carbon emissions to be on par with our carbon emissions. So conceivably their production is one-fifth, but their carbon output is the same. India, not so much, but still much more carbon emissions per dollar of GDP than the United States is. So even if you and I cut back, think about this, folks, even if you and I cut way back to 1990 standards, as the Kyoto would have had us do, and I'm not sure what the standards are going to be for cap and trade, but even if you and I cut back, is that going to stop global warming? Is it really going to clean up the planet? Well, if China and India and others continue to pollute the environment, and they've got some stuff over there going, some things going on over there in the form of coal fires that they can't control, they can't stop. So what we're doing, folks, is we're potentially, the only result that could happen from this is that you and I have our economy hurt, but no significant less impact on global warming, on cleaning up the economy. We have to balance the economic issues, ladies and gentlemen. The economic issues, the marketplace, the strength of the U.S. economy has to be balanced with cap and trade. And that's the thing that I'm afraid may not happen. And with McCain and Obama seemingly so similar in their opinion about cap and trade, this election on that issue is not going to matter one way or the other. You and I are going to have to get involved in this. Just something to think about. And I promise you, I'll continue to be reporting on this with experts who know a lot more about this than I do. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.